Joe Smith time at 7:45 here on a Monday morning. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm not bad. Glass, how you doing? I guess as far as Mondays go, it's Monday, so we deal with it, move on, and see what we can do and make a positive thing.
That's exactly right, and always facing east to get a nice, lovely sunrise, which is on its way this morning. Fantastic. And rising to the occasion over the weekend, Joe, cross country.
Yeah.
How about those Harriers? Brown County's never an easy venue. You got two laps through the woods, but they've seen that track once or twice. The pack got together, but boy, the two city schools did battle there. Great individual battle at the top, and the North Cougars pack was running and running and running, and a great weekend of cross country. Tell us all about it.
Well, the queens of cross country keep winning, and now lying ahead, the big stage this Saturday's state championships over the Laverne Gibson course in Terre Haute. Justin Helmer's 8th-ranked North ladies winning its first semi-state in 9 years, while Grace Williams added her own personal milestone this fall, adding the semi-state now to her catch of honors, including sectional, regional, individual crowns, running and winning in 18:34.1. Maya Haggerty was 14th, Alexa Gebhardt 16th, Kendall Schultz, the lone senior among the top seven, was 25th, and Quinn Wilson nailed down 30th, all with career PRs. Number 19, Bloomington South, they are right there in the state chase as well. Samantha Ginther's South Panthers finishing second to the Cougars on Saturday. The Panthers' top duo of Todora Galuska and Madison McMullen were right there, again, knocking at the door, finishing second and fifth, respectively. Elsewhere, Edgewood's duo of Kaylee Meyer and Paige Abel both posted career best on Saturday but failed to qualify for the state. Meanwhile, Charlie Worthen's North Cougs also in the big show next weekend, finishing a fifth overall. Drew Warren battled traffic early on to finish 20th to lead the Cougs in 16:26.7. It was a quick field once they got out and around the traffic. Isaiah Hollers was 28th. Paul Rustin and Ben Iovino, along with Andy Villardo, all went 17:16 or faster, and Villardo, the lone senior of the group there. We'll have Coach Charlie Worthen and the Cougars in on the back half of our Sports Talk show tomorrow night. Behind the scenes with Fred Glass, we'll kick things off at Yogi's starting at 6. Larry Williams, South Panthers, disappointingly failed to qualify for the state. Dawson Hood was the Panther best finisher at 39th. Good news out Edgewood way is sophomore Austin Haskett continues to run well. He wound up third in the quick field at 15:49.6, the first male Mustang runner at state in 12 years. Congrats out to Austin. Well, Columbus East continued its dominance of winning yet another sectional volleyball title, and in the process ended both the North and South's outstanding 20-win-plus seasons. The Olympians took out Disney Brandenburg's Cougars in three in the championship game over East Central on Saturday night, as the Cougars wound up 23-10, the most wins they've had in a season in 6 years. Earlier, North did eliminate East Central in four sets in the semifinal. Eugene Kim's South Panthers lost its semifinal in three to the Olympians, Sydney Conger and Lizzie Scokeland, 16 kills between them. But the Southsiders in that game just had trouble gaining any momentum as its season ended 21-12. The Maroon and Gold, though, making its first sectional final in 11 years, led by Haley Stoltz, who had 11 kills. Zoe Merritt had 10. Julia Wood with 12 digs. Shea Barrow and McKendy Fisher combined for 5 blocks in that match. It was Columbus East's 5th straight sectional title. Mentioning in a row, Northview's won 4 straight sectionals. They win over at Sullivan, beating Brown County in 3 sets. Misty Edwards' Edgewood Mustangs lost to Brown County in the semifinals in a well-contested 5-setter. Kendall Souter, what a game. 18 kills, 19 assists, 12 digs, 5 aces, and 4 solo blocks. Edgewood, though, closed its season 13-16. Well, Coach Mo's 3rd-ranked South Panthers began a quest for its 3rd straight sectional crown on Friday night as they hook up with Scott Bless's North Cougs out at Martin Memorial in the 5A sectional semifinals, both, of course, coming in off of bye weeks. This one on the north side at 7 o'clock. South shut out the Cougars on that field in September. beating the Cougars 49-0, his fourth straight win over the North Siders. Edgewood's season ended 1-9. The Mustangs beaten soundly by Boonville 42-6. Ian Coldren had the lone touchdown as Edgewood last Friday night, limited to only 123 yards of total offense. It's a Monday, which means in the zone. Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6 in the red zone. Begins at 7 ahead of our Monday night matchup. Should be a good one. Houston, the leader in the South, and Denver, both 4-2. Kickoff between those two around 8:30 here on the airwaves.
And the Colts will be rooting for the Broncos tonight to cut that division lead. The Colts had Houston dead and buried last weekend, Joe, but they bounced back nicely on the road, beating Tennessee yesterday. 4 of Andrew Luck's 17 come-from-behind wins in the NFL have been against the Titans. The Colts have not lost to the Titans in some time. And without Philip Dorsett, Dwayne Allen, or Reggie Wayne, or Marvin Harrison, or even Dante Moncrief, Andrew Luck had a slim pickings, but still finished, Joe, with over 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no Colts turnovers.
Yeah, that was the key. That offset all those doggone penalties. I thought they were headed the wrong way again until that touchdown drive, and Doyle caught that pass, and then, of course, Mathis ended it with the fumble recovery. But, boy, that was a couple of tense moments again in that fourth quarter, the last 6 minutes.
I'd like to have number 12 with the ball.
Yeah.
And that's how it's been. And you have the confidence also of having the guy that's made probably the best field goal kicker in the NFL history,
Vinatieri.
You know he's going to make it inside, 54 yards? So it kind of opens up your offense. And, it gives the Colts some breathing room. But they did make some big plays down the spread. How about the Devin Streets catch there, Joe? Almost knocked out of the game about 5 minutes before that and makes a huge third down play. So, guys, playing for the jobs every week, figuring it out. You can only win one game. You can only play well once. So that's why it feels like the end of the world for IU football, but it's not. They've only lost one game. The season is not over. They come home to play Maryland on Saturday. We'll talk more about the Hoosiers and their trip to Northwestern, plus a good trip to Northwestern for Sherry Dunbar's volleyball. A lot of speaking of tying, NFL on the airwaves last night, 6-6 tie. I guess that was the homage.
Like watching paint dry.
Well, just sort of like watching IU men's and women's soccer this weekend. Everybody tie. 6-6 would have been an exciting tie in soccer, Joe.
That'd been a high-scoring nail-biter.
That would be. That would have had you on the edge of your seat. Hoosier hysteria was this weekend. We'll get to that tonight as well. A little bit there, but more football-centric with the Colts winning and the Hoosiers needing to figure out plenty of some stuff. We'll talk the IU beat coming up. And game one of the World Series. Can you believe
it? How about that,
The Tribe and the Cubbies.
That was what I was hoping for, some new blood. And that was interesting, your story on the numbers being down. But
it's the highest rated LCS since 2010, and that really didn't blow me away. You know what I mean? It just the highest rated game since 2010. Okay. I thought with all the – you would think by everybody you talked to around here, and you were in Chicago all weekend, you thought that the whole world was on pins and needles watching this. Well, that's not what the numbers showed us.
Yeah. I tell you, so, well, you know, like I said, I think it will be a highly watched World Series.
You'd hope.
Couple of teams, they haven't won in a zillion years. 48 the last time the Tribesters won,
I think. Yep, and 08 for the Cubs. So someone's drought will be broken. And at 8:45, we'll get the full Hoosier beat and a busy week for IU coming up as well.
Yep, be here, and we'll talk about an hour or so.
Sounds good, my friend.
Poorly coached, poorly played, Coach Kevin said in his Saturday postgame. Well, not a happy camper, and he shouldn't be. Losing at Northwestern, 24-14, a dull start by both units back on game day, not ready to attack either way, and not ready to play. Defense did try to, right things, but digging out of a 24-3 halftime hole, a little bit too steep a hill to climb, even though the Cats stopped scoring and had only 37 total yards in the second half. That said, quarterback Richard Lego has to stand in there and start making some plays. The Hoosiers got to do something this week in practice to find solutions to the run game, because right now there is no run game. The offensive unit has to start finding things out and figuring them out. Here's what we have in front of us, Maryland. Because you hate to use that word must, but we will this morning, because it is now a must-win Saturday against Maryland, and they're no pushover. They're 5-2, and if you looked at their stats, They can run the football. They had two guys over 100 yards rushing against Michigan State. As Coach Kevin said in his Saturday post game, it's time this football team wins. Well, you're right on there, Coach. Well, it was a different distances, but really the same results at the CBC over the weekend as the Ray Luce swimmers and Drew Johansson divers taking care of business. The men's swimming team beat Texas and Florida. The Hoosier women beat Florida, lost to Texas. But the team swam against each other. They started in a long course meet back on Friday and then met again on Saturday for a short course meet using yards. And the Hoosier men beat Texas and Florida, and the women split on Friday night. But when it was all said and done for the opener, former South standout and two-time state champion Ian Finnerty had a big day for the Hoosiers. Ian won the 100 breaststroke, swam a leg on the 200 medley relay team. Also, Blake Peroni, gold medalist at Rio, led a 1-2-3 Indiana finish in the 100 free. James Connor, a two-time Olympian for Australia, won the 3-meter springboard. And remember Michael Hickson, who won the bronze in Rio? He was third. Two-time gold medalist Lily King led the way for the women, winning the 100 breast and taking second in the 200 breast, and swam a leg on the 200 medley relay team that finished second. So all in all, pretty good start for the IU swimmers and divers. Well, unfortunately, the golden boot, tie and all, stays in West Lafayette. Michaela Brown did score twice. The Hoosiers of Amy Burberry, though, tied the Boilermakers in the golden boot game Saturday night. Sarah Lamadou had 8 saves and goal for the Hoosiers, who wrap up the regular season at home Wednesday. It'll be seniors night on the Yegley pitch against Michigan at 6 o'clock. But Indiana's women now 7-7-4, 4-3-3 in the Big Ten. Well, a 6 tie for Todd's Booters. Yegley's crew and Wisconsin, a scoreless draw up in Madison Friday night. The 6 ties now, the most in the NCAA this year, most in a season by an Indiana team in 11 years. And like the football Hoosiers, the soccer footballers need a big-time injection of offense. They're out. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow night. St. Louis Billikens come in for 7 o'clock action. Also needing an infusion of offense, the field hockey Hoosiers of Amanda Janney. They lost Seniors Day game to Ohio State 1-0. They'll be at Penn State Friday night looking for offense as well. Indiana now dropping to 8-9 on the year, 3-4 in the Big Ten. This is a crucial game for them. Well, they found some offense yesterday afternoon. Taylor Lebo had 17 digs. How about freshman center Victoria Brisak? She posted her second straight double-double, 27 assists and 10 digs. And after losing in 3 sets to Illinois, Indiana, Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan's Hoosiers won their 14th of the year. They're now 3-7 in the Big Ten as they win in 3 at Northwestern yesterday. Golf start pretty good for Clint Wallman's Hoosiers, third lowest round in school history. They're out in Las Vegas at the Collegiate Showdown, a field of 15 teams. But Indiana right in the hunt, 283 after the first 18. They'll play through today right now in a tie for 6 at 5 under par for the IU women golfers. Well, we got back about the time that over 16,000 fans were leaving the new Simon Scott Assembly Hall after Hoosier hysteria. 3-point shooting contest. Well, when it was all said and done, Thomas Bryant beat Josh Newkirk in 19-13. But then Tyra Buss, guess what? Yeah, she knows how to shoot them too. She beat him, Thomas Bryant, for the overall 3-point championship. By the way, it only took one of those, as we have seen in the past, one of those 360-degree between-the-legs dunks that brought the fans to their feet as OG Anunoby won the slam dunk contest. But a night for all. It was a fan fest, if you will, for the basketball Hoosiers. Gosh, they'll be playing an exhibition game a week from Tuesday against Hope University in the new Simon Scott Assembly Hall. By the way, In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6, extended, as always, on Mondays. In the Red Zone, lots to talk about and cover, including that Ohio State loss to Penn State over the weekend, the Hoosiers, and lots more. Houston will be at Denver for the game tonight. Our coverage, 7:45 kickoff on the airwaves here at 8:25.
Yeah, Hope University is going to need some hope, Joe, if they're coming to town in a week from now.
I think that's the opponent.
I believe you. And before that, you know, Halloween is this weekend, and we've seen the Haunted Hall of Hoops
over the
years,
yeah.
So that might be a something to be looking for on your calendar, because obviously with the home game Saturday football, you could I don't think they're going to wait till they're not going to do Monday if they've got a Tuesday game. That's not going to be the case. So that's been something that's gone on years before. So if you didn't have a chance to make it to Hoosier Hysteria, you might get another shot at it.
Yeah, it might be. I haven't seen a date. It might be Sunday.
For a Tuesdayer.
I don't know.
You know what? It makes the most sense to do it on a Friday, Joe, because you have people in town for basketball or for football for Saturday. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll just keep our eyes and ears open. And obviously, Chuck will tell us on Friday when we see him. So that's a great one. But I think they'll probably you'll hear something earlier, sooner than
probably
later
hopefully
on that.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, because they get to the trick-or-treat and the autographs and all. That's a great fan thing to do if you couldn't make it to the Hysteria on Saturday night. So basketball season, the confluence of football. Yeah, Joe, everybody needs an injection of offense. You're right. The Hoosiers need to find ways to get points on the scoreboard. And I've talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it again tonight. Hey, start kicking 33-yard field goals. We don't have to go for 4th and 3 every time. It gets points on the board. You keep putting points on the board. That's not the worst thing that happens. And
good field position after the block punt. We move it down the field, for instance, there. And Ricky Jones comes in, does the job. Special teams, defense, they're doing okay. I mean, they're keeping Indiana.
Yeah, but you
got
to put some points on the board to give them some.
Let's try 3. I mean,
why not?
And I mentioned that block punt because then what do? Well, we use
3
four
and out.
Down.
Yeah, 4
well,
and out.
Well, actually, 4 and out.
Right.
Yeah, because
I think
went for it on 4th down, and like you said, let's at least give Oaks a shot. But
Yeah, the mixed message is you pass up 43-yard field goals and take 53-yard field goals and just put points on the board. And you keep making – if you're down there three times – if you're down in the red zone 3 times, you kick 3 field goals, that's 9 points. It's better than nothing. The last time I checked, 9 is greater than 0. And if you're doing that, well, again, the momentum plays we're not making on either side of the ball. And, again, it's going to take something to break the dam to get the offense moving. And Dan Feeney was back. I hope that's positive. That should reflect in the team room and the film room and everything else.
Yeah, I think he played about, when it was all said and done, about 80%.
Oh, that's better. That's more than I thought he would. So that's a good sign there for, obviously, the Hoosiers. Maryland comes to town. 5-2 Terrapins beat Michigan State over the weekend. Ohio State, we have them on the – every time they're on the radio, Joe, it's a fantastic game. Ohio State beats Wisconsin in overtime 2 weeks ago. They lose to Penn State on Saturday. Big special teams play. A blocked field goal return for a touchdown. And Penn State's coming to town here in November. Let's not forget that. That was a game a lot of people had circled on their – schedule poster is, well, that's going to be a win. Well, they just beat the number 2 team in the country. That's their first win over a top 1 or 2 team since 1990 when they beat Notre Dame. That's how long it's been for the Nittany Lions and their historical football program there. Great stuff as always. We'll see you tomorrow night with North Cross Country and Fred Glass behind the scenes live at Yogi. Showtime 6 o'clock at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Great story there. Great stories there. Fred will get us a wrap up on how Hoosier Hysteria went and a look ahead to basketball season, football, and everything, all the postseason that's going to start happening as well.
No question. And we got the big Hall of Fame induction, with 6 new members going in. That'll be on Friday night at the Hickey Hall of Champions. So it's a big weekend. And IU Football Alumni Weekend as well, so a lot of guys are coming back for the Terrapin game.
Excellent, and we'll have that all covered for you tomorrow night, and we'll see you on Friday as well for high school sectional semifinal football.
Yeah, we're back to 7 o'clock, 6:30 Chalk Talk with both coaches as, South and North have at it. Let's see, 53rd time.
Gotcha.
They will have met, I think.
And, again, throughout the records, it's for all the marbles. Win in advance, and we know what the other side of that coin means, so it should be an exciting weekend there. So a busy week, and you'll be with us all week. That's great.
Yep. See you then.
All right, Joe Smith, tomorrow night live at Yogi's, Monday morning, 7:45 and 8:45.